Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about a recent deployment of the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing, and we'll hear about the upcoming Month of the Military Child. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard is continuing to transform Camp Ripley into one of the premier training venues in the Midwest. We are not resting on our achievements and improvements from the past. Instead, our team is striving to do better by planning and building smarter, with sustainability always in mind. As Camp Ripley grows and changes, we're meeting the needs of our evolving force and the needs of our civilian interagency partners. This spring, Camp Ripley opened an expanded education center, creating a hub for military members and interagency partners alike. The center allows space to conduct meetings and classes, provides more lodging, and serves meals all under one roof. All of this has been done not only with the customers of today in mind, but also with the environment and generations of the future. The new building was designed to meet Sustainable Building 2030 standards, achieving 60% reduction in energy and carbon dioxide reduction. The careful construction and design focuses on a sustainable approach in several areas, from indoor and outdoor environment standards to energy and water efficiency. This new education center establishes a place to gather at Camp Ripley, a modern building with sustainable infrastructure that will serve the military and our interagency partners for the next 80 to 100 years.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about a recent deployment is Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Shidla and Staff Sergeant Kevin Vanek from the 210th Engineer Installation Squadron. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Colonel, I'm going to start with you. How long have you been in the military?
I am coming up on 23 years.
23 years on the air side of the house.
All on the air side. Combination of active duty, reserves, and now in the Air National Guard.
And are you an engineer by training?
Electrical engineer, through and through.
Okay. And Sergeant Vanek, how long have you been in the military?
I've been in the military nearly 6 years this July. I joined right out of high school.
And I understand you've been deployed a couple times.
I've been deployed in 2012 for about 7 months, and just recently in 2014, 2015 here for about 5-6 months.
And you're enjoying your time in the Air National Guard?
Absolutely.
All right, Colonel, let's sign him up.
Absolutely.
Get that extension signed. Colonel, can you tell us a little bit about the 210th Engineer Installation Squadron?
Sure. Well, the 210th EIS, we are a communication infrastructure squadron. So basically, we are going to do anything to support communications for military operations in both a federal and a state mission. So we will put in cable, copper, fiber. We'll build antenna towers, put those towers up, anything that's going to support wireline or wireless.
Now, your unit is housed here in Minnesota.
Correct. We are what's called a geographically separated unit, and that our operational control is actually coming out of Ohio and eventually through Space Command in Colorado. But we are co-located with 133rd, and on a day-to-day basis, we are basically part of the 133rd Airlift Wing.
So for your federal missions, you report outside of the state, but on your state missions, you actually report through the Adjutant General.
That's correct.
And what type of state missions do you get involved in?
Same type of mission. It's just a matter of who is our customer on a given day. So we will do work up in Duluth at the Duluth Air National Guard station there. Same thing, putting up antenna towers, putting in communications both inside buildings as well as long fiber optic lines outside buildings. We've also supported nearby states. We'll go down to Volk Field down in Wisconsin. We've been up in Fargo, in Grand Forks, down in Sioux Falls, basically all this five-state area. We probably do, I don't know, Sergeant Vanek, I'd say probably about half our work is probably in the five-state area.
So you stay close to home most of the time, Sergeant Vanek?
Most of the time.
Colonel, how many airmen do you have in your unit?
We have 109 in the 210th. We are short a few right now, so always recruiting, but we are maxed out at 109.
We got that extension paperwork signed, and we'll get him before he leaves the station. Make sure we keep that sergeant in. Colonel, can you tell us a little bit about the recent deployment?
Sure. We deployed to the CENTCOM, which is Central Command Area of Responsibility, so basically to the Middle East. We went to combat skills training back in September, and we got out to the desert in early October, and then we just got back here in the last 10 days. We worked out there the entire time. We worked through the holidays. We worked a total of 70 projects. We were in 6 different countries, 9 different bases. And when all was said and done, we finished about 50 of those projects, and we turned it over to the next group of engineering installation squad folks that showed up after us. It was a great deployment. We got a lot done.
So this was a federal mission, and apparently they had some things they needed fixed, replaced, built.
There was a lot going on. This rotation has been going on since October 2001, immediately after September 11th. And our community, and the 210th is one of 15 engineering and installation squadrons throughout the country. And for the last 14 years, we've been sending groups of people out there on 2-month, 4-month, 6-month rotation, whatever the case may be. All the rotations now are 6 months long. And it's been the same thing, communication infrastructure. We had been slowing down with a lot of the work. Iraq was over. Afghanistan has been winding down. With ISIS flaring up here this past summer, our ops tempo was significantly higher than we expected 6 months out from the time that we went.
So if this mission's been ongoing since then, it must not be the first time the 210th went over to take care of this.
No, in fact, I joined the 210th in 2004, and I think they had 2 rotations under their belt already. And since I've been in there, we have sent groups of people on this deployment 5 additional times. So one thing that's different with the 210th and basically the Air National Guard in general is that, different from the Army, is that we'll send a group of people from our squadron. So on this deployment, we sent 21 people from the 210th out of 109, whereas when the Army goes, they'll send a full battalion and the whole group will go. So the 210th has had members in the desert 5, 6, 7 times over the last 14 years, but no one person has gone all those times, and the entire squadron has not gone every time.
But a lot of your airmen have gone more than once, so if they're going back again, they kind of know what the mission is, where they're going, and what it's going to look like.
Absolutely.
That's got to help you deal with it a little bit, doesn't it?
I think so.
Sergeant Vanek, how was that last mission?
The latest one, well, since I've been there before, I was really able to help out some of the younger guys who were, you know, not that many years younger than me, but I just have been there before, so I had a lot more experience. I could show them the ropes a little.
And your job within the 210th is what?
Right now, I'm in the engineering section, but prior to that, I was an installer, so go out, actually put wrenches in. I mean, as an installer, we go out, we're turning wrenches, driving dump trucks, putting in the cable, putting up the antennas. It's really fun.
Sounds like you're a little bit of a nomadic mission. You were moving around quite a bit.
And that's the way I like it. We get to move around. It kind of breaks up the long deployment, and we get to see new places and travel to new countries that my friends just aren't able to do that.
Did you find it relatively safe? Were conditions good?
Just about every location is as safe as it gets. I mean, we're doing projects on base. We rarely go off base, so.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Shidla and Staff Sergeant Kevin Vanek on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, there's a lot of stuff going on over in the desert, and as you say, ISIS has created some new problems, and as a commander, and you were along on this last mission, you had to be pretty well aware of everything that's going and make sure you were putting all your troops in safe positions to do the work.
Absolutely. I would base myself out of the Combined Air Operations Center, which is basically the headquarters for all operations within the desert. And on a daily basis, we hear what's happening, what's going on. And I would get my instructions from entirely possible the 3-star general, who is the guy in charge of all air operations, saying, we need to stand this capability up at this location. And at that point, it becomes a combination of the civil engineers building up your infrastructure, and then we are the communication guys. And then when that building goes up, you're going to want your phones and everything to work while you're in there. We're the ones that are going to go in there and make that happen.
So if it's a hot mission or a very important one, then you've got to get in there and get it done quick.
Absolutely. In fact, we were on the ground 2 days before exactly one of those instructions came down, and two of our engineers, actually the two engineers on Sergeant Vanek's team, they were the first two out the door. And they were down working on that base within 24 hours of the time they landed at that base.
Well, Sergeant Vanek, that's got to be pretty exciting, isn't it?
absolutely. You're right on the front lines without, you know, you don't have to use a weapon. You're on front lines with communication.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about those missions you're going on. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Shidla and Staff Sergeant Kevin Vanek from the 210th Engineer Installation Squadron on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we've been talking to Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Shidla and Staff Sergeant Kevin Vanek of the 210th Engineer Installation Squadron. And Colonel, we were talking about your recent deployment over to the desert and the type of work you've been doing over there. Is how many months were you there again this trip?
We were in country 5 months.
5 months, and taking your orders from the generals and moving around a lot to do this work.
Absolutely. In fact, we try and get our teams to go to more than one location. It keeps things fresh, tend to be more energized when you get to a new base, whereas you can get into the monotony of day-to-day work if you stay at the same location the entire time.
So did you have one base that you were lodged in, and then you went on these temporary trips, or did you actually move?
Our teams, we split up into both engineering and installation teams. So we'll have an engineering team will be 3 people, an installation team will be 7 people. And we may vary those numbers depending upon mission need, but they're independent. So we had 21 people from the 210th with me on this trip. We were spread out in as many as 4 countries at one time, working on different projects at different bases.
So you just assign them out by team and they go in for as long as it takes.
Absolutely. Sometimes when we went to Afghanistan, we initially thought we were only going to send a team. Once I got up there and discovered more work to be done, we sent 2 more teams. And we had a lot more people up there than we planned on and just got to adjust. And those adjustments take place on a daily basis.
So, Sergeant Vanek, is that interesting to say, okay, for the next 10 days, you're going over here to do this, and then when you come back, we'll send you somewhere else?
It is. You get to go in, start a project, finish a project, and then usually see it applied to the base immediately. It's a great feeling to see it completely done.
Well, those airmen that are over there and need the communications must be happy to see you come in and get everything fixed and hooked up and working.
They always seem to love us.
Imagine they have a couple extra things they want you to do once in a while, too.
Exactly. Nobody, we can't talk about that.
But, Colonel, while you're here, can you fix this, right?
Absolutely. Everyone loves the comm guys. And when it comes to supporting our aircraft, you need communications in order to do that. In order for the internet and the Wi-Fi to work, you need communications for that as well.
And when it doesn't work, we go crazy, especially someone my age.
Yeah, I'm still wondering which we hear more gripes about, when communication goes down supporting operations or communication goes down supporting the internet.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That'd be a tough one. Sergeant Vanek, for our listeners out there that might be thinking about joining the Air National Guard, can you walk us through what did it feel like when you went on your first deployment?
Well, my first deployment back in 2012, I was just 22 years old then. So I had been in roughly 3 years, and we got to the Central Command, the area Colonel Shidla was talking about earlier. And my team was moved immediately to Afghanistan. And at that time, it was a little more, that was our main fight at that time. And at 22 years old, I landed in Afghanistan, and I was a little gung-ho at that time. So I was real excited to be there, and I was ready to just get moving, get the fiber in the ground, antennas in the air.
Sergeant Vanek, we were talking off the air a little earlier about there was a tower that you built. Can you tell us about how it went to erect a tower in the desert?
Yeah, so the engineers engineered a tower to be put up 180 feet in the air for antennas that many of our security forces could use around the perimeter of the base to secure it. And there wasn't actually a local contractor in Afghanistan with a tall enough crane to put on the top section at 180 feet. Which is untypical for you'd find domestically, that wouldn't be an issue, obviously. So our engineers and installation team chief found a solution. They found local helicopter contractors, and we dropped down the top sections from a helicopter. 3 guys were on top of the tower wrenching the bolts in, and they got it done, antennas on the tower, and the guys were able to use it. It was a really unique situation.
Did you volunteer to be one of those 3 guys?
Absolutely not. Strong guys on the ground.
Colonel, how do you pick the guys to go do that? I don't think I'd want to be way up there doing that.
You know, that's the greatest thing about the National Guard is you have people with all different backgrounds and interests. And we just had a project down in the United Arab Emirates while we were out there, and we needed two guys to go fix a light bulb on a 150-foot tower. And these two guys just jumped at it. They love it. They are as uncomfortable at 150 feet as they are on the ground. And I just say, thank God there are people like them.
Absolutely. That makes no sense to me, sir.
I'm with you there.
I wouldn't have been that volunteer. We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Shidla and Staff Sergeant Kevin Vanek from the 210th Engineer Installation Squadron on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, you must have run into some kind of hardships. Did you have all the material? Did you have everything you needed on this mission?
We really did. What's really been great is just how, as the National Guard, we've matured in how we deal with these deployments. When I went on my first deployment, we did not have the yellow ribbon or any type of support like that. It's basically you get a one day of instruction, this is what you're getting into, and then boom, you're gone. Now, not only do we get more instruction, we're able to bring our families in. We'll have a pre-deployment yellow ribbon meeting, and our families are all there with us. And we go through a lot of problem solving as far as, hey, these are the types of things that you may run into while your significant other is gone. These are the resources that are going to be available for you while that person is gone. And then while we are gone, they have access to all of these resources. We had hundreds of phone numbers that my wife could have called with any problem, and there would have been somebody there available to support them. And then now that we're back, we've got our first redeployment meeting coming up, and our families are going to be with us for that as well, and just basically helping us with the reintegration process.
As tough as it is to go on a deployment, it's got to be a little easier to go knowing that there's a lot of support back here for your families.
Absolutely. Again, it's not something that we had 10 years ago, and now with the amount of support, it's just a sense of well-being that we're able to go. It's like, hey, things may not go great while we're gone, but at least there's going to be people there to support our families.
So the yellow ribbon communities and the family assistance centers being out there and all the other resources. And today the communications between wherever you are and home, you can talk to your wife and your family pretty easily, can't you?
It is absolutely incredible. I found it. I'm a comm guy, and I looked at just how incredible it was that my wife and I could have a conversation over the internet, and we were several thousand miles away, and it would be more clear than if we were to having a cell phone conversation here in the States. Amazing.
Sergeant Vanek, did any of your other NCOs or enlisted people, you know, when you're out there doing a mission, you want to be thinking about the mission and safety and getting it done. But you were able to communicate home as well. And if there's some problems back home, it's nice to know somebody's here to help you take care of them.
Oh, yeah. Back at the unit here, you can just call up any of our family members, and they're more than willing to help at the unit. Some of the problems don't even reach us. They'll go to the unit before us.
So you never even find out about them.
Weirdly, sometimes you don't.
Or maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, the hot water heater croaked. But it's fixed, and don't worry about it. That's a nicer call than saying, hot water heater is broken, what do I do?
Absolutely.
That's just not right. Well, Colonel, it's great today that we've got all of that help for you and all of these organizations back here taking care of the families. We talk about, we have the Yellow Ribbon communities on the show all the time, and now there's Yellow Ribbon companies. There's all kinds of support here, and as a Vietnam veteran, I can tell you they hadn't even thought about this stuff when I was deployed. So it's great to see that the state of Minnesota and all of the Minnesotans back here are backing you up. And did you get a lot of gift boxes when you were there?
Oh, yes. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, if you were not careful, you could just simply get fat with the amount of snack food that was sent out our way. It was overwhelming, just the amount that was sent to us in the desert. Once the holidays left, it still kept up, just not quite at that rate. You could not help but just appreciate the support that we were getting from everyone back here just with the outpouring of material that came to us while we were there.
Sounds like there might have been some 5Ks involved in this before we wear off some of that candy, sir.
5Ks, 10Ks, absolutely.
Sergeant Vanek, we just got a minute left or so. Any final thoughts about the Air National Guard and the deployments? And are you ready to sign your extension?
We'll see. Maybe right after this.
Yes, right. He is.
Sir, yes, sir.
No, the Air National Guard, I mean, I joined just right out of high school. I didn't know what I was doing. It's progressed with me. I've had multiple opportunities within the squadron and to go everywhere. And I've learned some really cool concepts, really met some really cool people, and just been really fortunate to this point.
Thank you. And Colonel Shidlow, any final thoughts for our listeners?
For this deployment, it was an outstanding experience for us. We're happy to be home. The support that we got from our friends, our families. And one thing, a lot of us are part-timers, and we got a lot of support from our companies as well. I work for a medical device company here in town, and I could not ask for more support from an employer. And here I'm not even there, and they're still supporting me. So it really feels great to be a part of. It's really a community, and it takes community to do what we do.
And if any of our listeners are interested, you're looking for a few good men, aren't you, and women?
We can definitely use a few good men or women. You betcha.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Shidlow and Staff Sergeant Kevin Vanek from the 210th Engineer Installation Squadron on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back to tell you all about the Month of the Military Child.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn all about the Month of the Military Child. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
To help veterans who are experiencing homelessness access stable housing, MDVA created the Minnesota Homeless Veterans Registry. The registry connects veterans with housing and services in their community. It also helps programs serving veterans in coordinating their efforts. Participation is voluntary for veterans. Anyone can refer a veteran to join. For more information and to access referral forms, please see the Minnesota Homeless Veteran Registry page at minnesotaveteran.org. Ending veteran homelessness is a little bit like an overnight success story that has been years in the making. I am proud of the progress we have made already. Veteran homelessness was cut in half over the last 4 years in Minnesota. But I don't and won't be satisfied until we have brought every veteran all the way home. Anyone who knows of a homeless veteran should call 1-888-LINK-VET. That's 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Since 1986, the Department of Defense has celebrated April as the Month of the Military Child and has teamed with various partners to recognize the courage and sacrifices of military children. More than 1.7 million American children under the age of 18 have at least one parent serving in the military. There are more than 900,000 Army military children. Of these, approximately 40% are Army National Guard children whose soldier parent has deployed more than one time. And joining me now to talk about the Month of the Military Child here in Minnesota is Captain Marion Belinsky, the State Family Programs Director. Captain Belinsky, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. How are you doing this afternoon?
We're doing great.
Great.
Captain, we're here to talk about Month of the Military Child. Can you tell me about it?
Yes, Month of the Military Child is great here in Minnesota. We have phenomenal support from the government officials to our military leadership and to just the community in general. Some of the things that are going on this year, which we are really excited about, is we've been able to partner with the Timberwolves for a couple of games in April. The children of military-connected youth will be recognized at two games in April. One is April 1st and the other one is April 15th. So we're really looking forward to that. They'll be able to assist with things like the flag and the anthem buddies is what they call that. So we're very excited about that. And then, like I said before, we get tremendous support from our government officials. Governor Dayton has proclaimed April as Month of the Military Child statewide. And as part of his support for that is we have partnered with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and they host a web link where the governor will write letters to the children who have a loved one serving in the military. And that includes all branches of the military. It doesn't matter the type. So not only Army National Guard, but Air Guard, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard, all of them.
Captain, you brought a couple of guests with you today. Would you like to introduce them?
I would like to introduce them. Today we brought from our teen panel, the Minnesota teen panel, is Bailey Trickle. And then we also brought our child and youth coordinator, Mariah Legvold.
Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Captain, I want to come back. I want to ask you about for the military families and for the Month of the Military Child. families can sign up to receive a letter from the governor?
That is correct. And they can go to our website, the beyondtheyellowribbon.org, and then they can, if they would also like to access it, they can also access it through the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs website as well. So there's multiple ways to access that letter from the governor.
And the best place to find information on that?
Is www.btyr.org.
Our favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
It is.
Bailey, Captain Blinsky talked about a couple of events coming up with the T-Wolves, an event on April 1st and one on April 15th. And the theme of that is Purple Up. What's that mean?
Purple Up Day is when people across the nation can wear purple to recognize and celebrate military youth. And we are also doing a hashtag campaign, so you can take a picture and post it on social media with hashtag MilKids. It just like shows your support for how like kids who are going through deployment and have parents in the military and how like they really appreciate the support we give and how hard it is to be a kid in deployment with either one parent or no parent. So
put on your favorite purple and post it on Facebook.
Yep.
And there's also, I understand, an art contest.
Yes. The theme changes every year, and this theme this year is the military pride. So youth can enter the contest by a painting, drawing, writing a comic strip, pretty much anything. They also can send it to the child and youth programs for the National Guard, and I heard there's prizes if you win those. So just show your talent for how much pride you have for the military.
Captain Blisky, do you have prizes for that?
We absolutely do have prizes. We were able to partner with Operation Military Kid, who donated the prizes for the art contest, so we're very excited.
I can tell you look like you're excited about this one. Must be good prizes.
It is good prizes.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we've been talking about the Month of the Military Child. And Mariah, I want to come to you. I understand there's a Teen Summit coming up.
Yes. So the Teen Summit is an event for military teens across Minnesota. It's a chance for them to come and connect together and to attend leadership workshops, go on an outing, be a part of a service project. It's just, like I said, an opportunity for all of the teens to come together.
Bailey, have you participated in this?
Yes, I have. I attended the Teen Summit last year.
And did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. It's a lot of fun. You gain a lot of experience and a lot of public speaking events, and you know, you get to help like the outing where you help like the greater good. Like last year, we bagged food for people in Haiti, I believe it was. So yeah, it's a good experience, and you get to go along with people who know what deployment is like, and like other kids who have been through it, and you know, who are some are still going through it. So it's a good kind of like distraction, you can say, too, if they're going through it. But it's really nice. I like it.
So it's military children from all over the state coming together, and they all have that commonality. They've probably been, one of their parents have probably been deployed, and so you can talk to them. They know what it's like.
Yep, it's very nice.
So that's kind of like a support group, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. And like, though you do have like group talks where you talk about it and how strong as a kid in having a military parent deployed, how strong you have to be and like how you're kind of like the base support. But it's really nice. I like it.
Good. Mariah, I want to come back to you. The National Guard Youth Camp at Camp Ripley's coming up. We had on retired Master Sergeant Rich Kemp last week, so we did a whole half a show about that. But can you tell us about it?
Yes. So the National Guard Youth Camp is a summer camp for kids to come up to Camp Ripley, a chance to come see where their parents might work at Camp Ripley and get a chance to be a part of the greater experience there with other military kids across the states. There's a youth camp, and then there's also a teen camp, and it's a week-long camp for kids to come up to Camp Ripley. I believe it's the end of July, beginning of August.
And is there information on that available as well at beyondtheyellowribbon.org?
There is, yes. That's where it's all at, is on there. And they also have another website, too, just for National Guard Youth Camp, which they can find on beyondtheyellowribbon.org as well.
Okay. And Bailey, have you been to the youth camp?
No, I actually haven't. I believe my brother did, though.
Are you going to sign up this year?
I will.
All right, we put you on the spot. You're going to the youth camp this year. Sergeant Kemp says you better sign up pretty quick because it's starting to fill up.
I will.
All right, that'll be a great thing. Captain, we're gonna have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about getting a letter from the governor.
Yes.
And maybe a little more about purpling up and the National Guard Youth Camp. We're speaking about the Month of the Military Child on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking today about the Month of the Military Child with Captain Marion Belinsky, Bailey Trickle, and Mariah Legvold. Captain Belinsky, you want to give us just a quick overview again, Month of the Military Child?
Yes, Month of the Military Child came about from the Department of Defense in 1986. And ever since then, we have been trying to do something special to recognize the sacrifices that the military-connected youth have with a parent who is, you know, deployed or away from home quite often due to military commitments. And for the past 7 years, Minnesota's governors have been proclaiming April as Month of the Military Child to help recognize those military-connected youth within the state of Minnesota, along with the, you know, the federal recognition of the April as Month of the Military Child.
And families in Minnesota that have military children can sign up to receive a letter from the governor recognizing youth for their sacrifices being part of a military family. How do they do that?
They can go to our website at www.beyondtheyellowribbon.org, or they can go to the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs website and sign up there. So there's two options to sign up to receive that letter.
And when do they get those letters?
They will get them actually in May.
In May.
In May.
So if you want to get a letter for your child, go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and get that request in. The governor's happy to sign those letters and get them out. Captain Belinsky, I understand that the Senator Franken is involved in the Month of the Military
he
Child.
He is. Him and his wife are big military supporters. And what they do, and some people know this, some people don't, but April is also National Poetry Month. So what they do is they combine the two, and they do the Military Kids Poetry Contest. And the winner of that contest gets to meet Senator Franken at his office for a small banquet reception, and where they are awarded a prize for winning the poetry contest as well. And our very own Tag is one of the judges.
Right. Do a good job on that poetry. I want to talk to Bailey. We were talking about Purple Up, and you can do that on Facebook. Put on your best purple outfit, take a picture, and what do they do with it?
It's like a campaign, kind of. So other people who like don't really know about it, they'll end up seeing it, and they'll like realize that purple is the significant color
for the Month of the Military Child.
Yes.
Okay, so put on your best purple outfit, take a photo, and post it on Facebook, and tell everybody to go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and check it all out.
Yes.
Now, you are also a member of the Teen Panel. Can you quickly tell us what that is?
Yep, the Military Teen Panel is a group of kids that come from all over Minnesota and like travel great distances. And we are involved in the decision-making process for gathering, like having groups and like the Teen Summit for other youth kids across Minnesota that can come and join. And when you're on the team panel, you learn a lot of leadership skills and like public speaking skills and just group activities. And being like a military child, it's nice to have other kids to talk to, and we kind of help other kids go through it because it's nice to have like kids who are relative to you to knowing what you go through.
So that's where you learn to talk so well on the radio.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Mariah, I want to come over to you. Bailey was telling us about being on the teen panel at the Teen Summit. Can you elaborate on the Teen Summit a little bit?
Yes. So the Teen Summit is an event that the teen panel actually plans. And this year, the theme is Welcome to the Jungle. And so the teens have been working on creating workshops for the kids to come to. And some of them this year are pretty awesome. We have one that's called Cutthroat Kitchen, and so it's all about eating healthy and knowing what that is. Another one is money management, etiquette, first aid. Those are just a couple that come to mind.
Bailey, you were smiling. What's yeah. The theme this year? Welcome to the Jungle?
Welcome to the Jungle.
What's that mean?
Well, like last year, our theme was Ohana, and Ohana means family. So we figured in a jungle, how it's such a dark place and, you know, animals kind of survive off their pack. So it's like when our parents are deployed, us kids need to come together and actually be as a family so we can all get through it, and how important the bond of a family is to support the military, and like how awesome it is to be a military child and have others just like you who go through deployments, and how awesome it is and how we can get through the dark places together.
So it's like the other military children. It's a support group.
Exactly.
Great. Sounds like you're really into it, too.
I am.
Captain Belinsky, we got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I do have some final thoughts, and I think that they set me up great for the final thoughts today. Basically, as Bailey and Mariah were saying, the teen panel has the opportunity to create the teen summit. So me as a leader, I have the wonderful opportunity to watch the teens grow and gain the confidence in the group so they can lead others and actually be the ambassadors for teens throughout the state of Minnesota to bring the issues that are specific to teenagers to the leadership, and not only Minnesota leadership, but also the national leadership at National Guard Bureau for us. So it's just super exciting to watch them grow and develop their speaking skills, their leadership skills, and just grow in confidence and maturity as teenagers. So, and one thing that we've learned is that teenagers really learn best in social networks and in social groups where they can connect and meet other teens to talk about shared experiences.
Very good. And if anyone out there wants to get involved, if you're a child of the military in Minnesota, go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Captain, ladies, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was Captain Marion Belinsky, Bailey Trickle, and Mariah Legvold on Month of the Military Child. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Joe Egan. Joe, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a while.
Tim Leonhardt's been coming over here all the time. We haven't had a chance to see you, I think, since the State Fair.
Yeah, well, he went all the way to the bottom of the list and selected me.
You've wintered well?
Yes, very well.
How are things going for our Minnesota Patriot Guard riders?
Well, unfortunately, we remain busy. We've had two missions this week, but fortunately, we are continued to be honored to be invited to those events.
So all winter long, you've been going to honor missions, and you've been going to departure ceremonies and return home. And
yes.
And it's all about honor, dignity, and respect, isn't it?
Yes, no matter what the weather.
Joe, you were telling me before we went on the air that there was a recent mission you went on that that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, it was Tuesday, and this mission is, it's not that it was more important than any other funeral mission, but it was certainly unique. And prior to the setting the flag line, we do a briefing, and the son of the person that passed away told me that his dad, at 90 years old, who passed away, served in three wars.
Three wars.
Three wars. And he was in the Navy, a combat decorated veteran, and you're talking about decorated. He was awarded 16 American campaign ribbons, 11 medals plus three foreign awards, also the Republic of Vietnam Gallantry Cross, the Philippine Liberation Ribbon, and Star, and Asia Clasp, and the Republican of Vietnam Campaign Medal.
He was a busy guy.
He lived his whole life serving his country.
And how many riders showed up for this mission?
Well, it was a last minute. We only had about 18 hours notice, and it was a frosty cold day on a workday morning, and there was 35 of us there.
Wow, good showing.
Yeah.
So what, he was in three wars, says World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, is that?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And it sounds like from all those medals that he pretty well won those wars all by himself.
I think so, yeah.
Well, what a great thing for that many riders to show up and honor that gentleman.
Oh, yeah. They, you know, sometimes you get the special ones. We had one last week where it was, again, as a short notice, and it was Vietnam, and it was Agent Orange. And as you know, a lot of our members are Vietnam, and with that, I think we had about 50 at that one.
Well, I understand Agent Orange. I was, as you know, in Vietnam. So,
yes, sir.
But we're not going there today.
No.
I know you had something you wanted to share with us about character.
Well, as we stand in the flag lines, you know, we're absolutely quiet. And I like that because it gives me time to think and not worry. But when I'm in that line, I think about, and because I haven't served, and I always say that I, in that flag line, that on behalf of myself and the other members who haven't served, that it remains an honor, you know, not only to be in the Patriot Guard, but to be in that flag line and be invited in. So when I think of military and the veterans, I think of character, their good character. And that's basically character. When it's good, it's exposed when you're doing things when other people aren't looking. It comes from a lot of self-discipline, and it's always rewarded eventually over time, and it's prized by the wise, and it includes trustworthiness, consideration, and certainly responsibility. And, you know, what a better way to go through life than to have a compliment, somebody say, you know what, you have good character. That's a real compliment in life, and that's what military is. But also with good character comes courage. And basically, it's just having the guts to face fear even when you're really afraid. It's a virtue, and I think it's held as high esteem with things like justice and wisdom and prudence and temperance, and something that everybody wants, and it's universally accepted throughout the world. And then finally, there's freedom. It's redefined many ways, but it all boils down to that inner peace you possess when you're unchanged from the bondage of unjust restraint. And Tom, as we all know, it doesn't come free. We've all attended too many funerals. They fought and many died. They're on the scene protecting our freedom. And it's such a precious gift. And it's got to be honored. And it should never, ever be taken for granted. But unfortunately, freedom is most often treasured most right after it's been taken away.
Joe, thanks for sharing us those thoughts. Who's eligible to become a Patriot Guard writer?
Well, anybody that is willing to dedicate themselves to honor, dignity, and respect for the fallen heroes. You don't need to be a biker. You don't need to be a veteran. Just have your heart in the right place, and we all volunteer. And it's an organization that I have never been involved with in my life. It's just so much compassion and empathy and volunteerism, and we all just support each other, and we joke around a little bit, but we just don't criticize each other because we're all into that same situation where we get up, and it could be 110 or it could be 60 below wind chill, and we pay our own way to pay respects to a total stranger.
All I have to do is go to the website, sign up.
Exactly. Yep.
Joe, I want to thank you for joining us today. We're about out of time. That was Joe Egan from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Shidla, Staff Sergeant Kevin Vanek, Captain Marion Belinsky, Bailey Trickle, Mariah Legvold, Joe Egan from the Minnesota Patriot Guard Riders, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we learn about the Joint Community Forces Program and the VA claim process. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.